So we're going to start from the bottom of Ayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. So just to give a little bit of context, just to remind you what's going on in this Gemara, the Gemara presented a machlokes a little bit earlier between Rav Nachman and Shmuel regarding whether a yoresh, a person who inherits his father's estate, has the ability to relinquish his rights to that estate if assuming the father, let's say, died after Shabbos already began. So that was the machlokes in the Gemara, and Rav Nachman was of the opinion that a yoresh can in fact relinquish his rights because the Gemara coins the phrase brakara da'avua, that the child is essentially an extension of the father, and therefore even though the father technically died after Shabbos, the son is still able to relinquish the rights to the chatzer, to other Jews living there, even, in other words, even though the father died afterwards. So the Gemara now is going to attempt...
Not after Shabbos, during Shabbos, correct?
In other words, if the father died after Shabbos began, the son can still relinquish the rights to that chatzer to allow others to carry, even after Shabbos already started. Yeah, so the Gemara is now going to attempt to refute that shita of Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says,
"Touch." You can inherit on Shabbos, right?
Inheritance happens automatically. You can't control that. That happens by itself. The question about whether you can acquire things, that's a separate issue, which we'll see in a second. Okay, so the Gemara says,
Inheritance is not considered an act of kinyan at all?
It can't be, because inheritance just happens automatically, by definition, right? Person dies, you inherit their stuff. That's the way it is. You know, there's nothing formal about it, right? So it just happens automatically. But again, we'll see. We're gonna touch on the idea of kinyan in a second. We'll see. Okay, so the Gemara says, Toshma, Yisrael v'ger shiruyin b'magura achas, umeis ger mi ba'od yom, afal pi shehechzik Yisrael acher b'nechasav, Oser. Mishecha Sheikha Afa Pishalo Hechzik Israel Acher Eino Oser. The Gemara is discussing a slightly different case than the original case of the Yoresh of the inheritor. The Gemara here is discussing a case where you have a Jew and another Jew who happens to be a Ger who live in the same area, and the Ger died without any relatives. The Ger died, let's say the Ger was never married, the Ger never had children, so the Ger died without having any relatives, no one to inherit him. So the halacha is that if a Ger dies without any relatives, so the first person who goes ahead and acquires the Ger's possessions becomes the owner of that item. So the Gemara says as follows. So I have a situation where a Ger dies, let's say, before Shabbos began. So the Gemara says that even though another Jew came along and took possession of the Ger's stuff, of the Ger's possessions, so the Gemara says that other Jew who took possession of the Ger's stuff is going to now forbid that original Jew, that first Jew who was living in the area with the Ger before Shabbos from carrying. However, if the Ger dies after Shabbos begins, so then the Gemara says that even though no one else took possession of the Ger's stuff, the Ger's possessions, that other person is not going to create a prohibition for the original Jew to carry. So the Gemara asks, "Haguf akashia, amar mi ba'od yom afa pi shehechzik, velo mi boya kilo hechzik." Adaraba kilo hechzik lo asar. The Gemara says that textually this brisa doesn't read straight, because the Gemara says that the implication of the brisa is clearly that in a case where the Ger died before Shabbos, so the Gemara said even though another Jew came along and took possession of the Ger stuff, so that is going to create a prohibition on the original Jew from carrying. The implication clearly is that kal v'chomer, if no one took possession of the Ger stuff, then kal v'chomer, that is going to create an isser for the original Jew to carry. Why is that a kal v'chomer? Because the Gemara uses the word afal pi. Even though someone else came and took possession, the implication is that certainly in a case where no one else took possession of the items, for sure that's going to pose a problem on the original Jew to carry. But the problem is that that's not true. We know that's not true. If a Ger dies and no one takes possession of his stuff, so then why would that, in other words, why would that create a prohibition on the original Jew to carry? No one else owns anything in that area right now, right? And again, as we mentioned already many times before, if you are the only Jew living in a chatzer, there is no requirement of an Erev chatzer, so you don't have to do anything. You can carry by yourself. So the Gemara says, Gemara asks that textually this brisa doesn't read straight, because it sounds like that, in other words, the brisa implies that even if no one else takes possession of the stuff of the Ger, there's still going to be a prohibition against carrying, which we know is not the case. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amar Rav Papa, Ema Afal Pi Shelo Hechzik. Rav Papa says, you're right. You have to amend the brisa. The brisa really meant to say, even though no one took possession of the item of the Ger, it's still going to be permitted for him to carry. So the Gemara says, how could you just do that? That's not what it says in the Braisa. The Braisa says, even though another Jew took possession of his items, which implies that if another Jew did not take possessions, then it's certainly going to create a prohibition, which again is a problem, because if no one else takes possession, why would that create a prohibition? So says the Gemara, you're right. Hachi ka'amar. Afal pi shelo hechzik mi ba'od yom ela mi shecha sheicha. Kevan de Havale Lahaksik Miba Odyom Oser, Mishecha Shecha, Afa Pishalo Hechzik Israel Acher Eno Oser. So the Gemara says, no, in other words, the Gemara says that it depends on when the ger dies. If the ger died before Shabbos began, even if you physically did not take ownership of the item until after Shabbos, the Gemara says that is going to pose a problem for the other Jew to carry, since you had the theoretical possibility of acquiring his items before Shabbos began. Whereas if the ger died after Shabbos already started, so then that's never going to create a prohibition. So the Gemara asks, Afa pisha lo hechzik Yisrael acher velo mi boya ki hechzik adarabba ki hechzik osar. The Gemara asks almost the identical textual question that we were asking on the previous part of the Gemara, which is that again, this part of the Braisa leads us to believe or implies that if another Jew does take possessions of the item, that is going to, that is not going to create a prohibition, which again, doesn't make any sense. If another Jew takes possession of the items of the ger before Shabbos begins, that should certainly create a prohibition on the original Jew to carry in the chatzer. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amar Rav Papa, ima afal pi shehechzik. So again, Rav Papa amends the Braisa to say, even though he took possessions of the item, it's still going to pose a problem. In other words, it's going to create a prohibition on the original Jew to carry. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? That's not what it says. The Braisa says, even though no one took possession of the item, it's still going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, you're right, Hachi Ka'amar, Afa pi shehechzik mishach ha-shecha, kevan de lo havele lahachzik mi ba'od yom, eino oser. The Gemara says that even though he took possession of the ger's items after Shabbos began, but since it was impossible, since the ger died after Shabbos started, which means that by definition there was no way that you ever could have acquired his items before Shabbos, by definition it's not going to pose a problem, it's not going to create a prohibition on the original Jew to carry. Now again, all of this that we just said was really a side point. We were just trying to clarify what the Braisa was talking about. The crux of the question and the reason why we're quoting this Braisa in the first place is for the following. It's for the following line. The Gemara says, Katani Mihas Resha Oser. Am I Oser? Nivatel? This line right here is the question against Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, if you looked in the back of the first part of the Braisa, the first part of the Braisa says that in the case where the ger died before Shabbos, again, so in that case, you're going to create a prohibition upon the original Jew from carrying, because again, that other Jew had the option of acquiring the ger's items. But the question is, according to Rav Nachman, why should this be true? Didn't we already say earlier, according to Rav Nachman, he should have the ability to relinquish his rights. He should be able to relinquish his rights to the chatzer. Why is that not an option? Why is the Gemara assuming that it's always going to be usher for the original Jew to carry? So the Gemara says, you're right. My oster dekatane ad sheyevatel. The Gemara says, you're right. All the Braisa meant to say was that until the other person relinquishes his rights, it's going to be usher for the original Jew to carry. But if he does in fact relinquish his rights, then obviously it's going to be permissible. So this Braisa is not a refutation against Rav Nachman, because all the Braisa meant to say was that in the event that you have not yet relinquished your rights, then the original Jew is not allowed to carry. But if he did, so then of course he is allowed to carry. So that's not going to be a refutation to what we were saying before. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Masnisin Mani Beishamahi. Da Amre, Ein Bittel Rishus Beshabis. Disnan, Me'emas Ainosnan Rishus. Beishamai Omri Mi Be'odiom. Uveisil Omri Mishatechshach. There's a machlokes in the Mishnah between Beishamai and Beisilel about at what point is a person no longer allowed to relinquish their rights to the Chatzir. According to Beishamai, you cannot relinquish your rights after Shabbos begins. You have to do that before Shabbos, which of course means that if the ger were to die after Shabbos, you no longer have the option of relinquishing your rights to the chatzer. Whereas according to Beis Hillel says, no, you can even relinquish your rights after Shabbos begins. What's the logic behind this? Amar Ula, my time of the Beis Hillel, Nase Keomer, Klach Itzel Yafos. So comes Ula and explains that the logic behind Beis Hillel is based on a very, very unique halacha in the realm of Hilchos Truma. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Metzia, let's say you go into my field and you separate Truma from my produce without my knowledge. Normally, you're not allowed to do that. Normally, I have to appoint you as a shliach in order to separate Truma. The question is, let's say you went into my field, you took off Truma without my consent, I come back to the field, I realize that you took off Truma, and I make the following declaration. I say, Klach Eitzel Yafos. You should have gone to the better ones. So the Gemara says, well, it depends if you in fact have better produce in the field. If you have better produce in the field than what I took off, then we're assuming that you're happy with the fact that I took off truma, and in fact, you wanted me to even take off better quality truma from your produce, and therefore, the hafrashas truma that I did is going to be binding. However, if you do not have any better produce in the field, then when you say the expression klach etzel yof was go to the better produce, you're clearly being sarcastic. You clearly are basically saying, look, you just washed me out of all my best stuff. You're being cynical about it. So in that case, the hafrashas truma is, of course, not going to work. So the reason why Beis Hillel says that relinquishing your rights after Shabbos begins is effective is because it is the halakhic equivalent of a person saying to the guy, say, in other words, to the guy who took off truma from his field without his knowledge, go to the better ones. Because if, in fact, there is better produce in the field, then retroactively it's demonstrated that the owner was happy with your hafrasha, which is another way of saying that the owner appointed you as a shaliach, so to speak, for separating his truma. So here, too, if it turns out that retroactively we were happy with the fact that the person is allowed to carry in the chatzer, so Beis Hillel says that by you relinquishing your rights on Shabbos, you're not doing anything new. You're simply clarifying that which you already wanted to do from beforehand, which is not going to be a problem on Shabbos. So now the Gemara asks, the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, meis nachri b'Shabbos, my klach etzel yafos ika. But so Abaye asks, okay, that's very nice for a regular case. What happens if I have a scenario where I was living in a chatzer with a non-Jew and the non-Jew died on Shabbos? Then it's impossible to invoke this logic of klach etzel yafos, of go to the nicer ones. Why? Because if the non-Jew only died on Shabbos, there is no possibility of retroactively saying, I'm going to go back to before Shabbos and I'm going to relinquish my rights from then. You can't do that when the non-Jew is still alive. There is no option of doing that. So if the non-Jew only died after Shabbos began, this whole option doesn't get off the ground. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elohacha b'hacha miflagei. The Beis Shammai Savrei Bittul Rishus Mikna Rishusahu Umikna Rishusa B'Shabbos Aser Uveisilo Savrei Istaluke Rishusa Ba'almahu Veistaluke Rishusa B'Shabbos Shapir Dame. The Gemara says this is really a much more fundamental issue in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. According to Beis Shammai, a person who relinquishes their rights is in fact engaged in the act of doing a kinyan on Shabbos, and we know that performing a kinyan on Shabbos is an Isra Durabana, because it looks like Mekach Umemkar. It looks like you're involved in a business transaction. So Beis Shammai says that relinquishing your rights to the chutzner looks like you're involved in a business transaction, which is therefore problematic to do on Shabbos. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no, Beis Hillel says that the only thing you're doing by relinquishing your rights is simply removing yourself from the chutzner. That's not really a kinyan. It's almost like the opposite of a kinyan. Like you're pulling yourself away from the chutzner. So Beis Hillel says that's permissible to do on Shabbos. That's really the issue at hand here. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, Balabayis shah yashutaf l'shchenav, lozeh b'yayin v'lozeh b'yayin einon tzrichin la'arev, lozeh b'yayin v'lozeh Shemen tzrichin la'arev. Reb Shimon omer echadzeh v'echadzeh einon tzrichin la'arev. The Mishnah presents a machlokas about the following case. Let's say you are in partnership with your neighbor. So the Mishnah says that if you're in partnership with your neighbor, you don't always need to make a joint erev chatzeres. It depends on the case. According to the Tanna Kamma, basically makes a distinction based on the types of items that you and your neighbor have. So in other words, according to the Tanna Kamma, if you and your neighbor both have wine, so then it's basically a demonstration that you're kind of in the same house, you're living in the same area because you both engage in the same item that you're selling. So then according to the Tanna Kamma, you don't need to make an Erev Chatzeres because you're basically halakhically living in the same house. However, if one of you sells wine and one of you sells oil, so then you are going to have to make an Erev Chatzeres because you're not considered to be living in the same area. Whereas according to Reb Shimon says that even if both of you sell wine, you're still going to have to. I'm sorry. He says even if one of you sells wine and one of you sells oil, you're not going to have to make a joint erev chatzeres either way. So the Gemara clarifies. Amar Rav uvechli echad. Rav clarifies that this halacha, according to the Tanna Kamma, that you do not need to make a joint erev chatzeres.
Can everybody mute, please?
Yeah. Can everyone please mute if they're not already muted? Okay, so in other words, Rav says that this halacha, this notion that you do not need to make a joint erev chatzeros, according to the Tanna Kamma, is assuming that the wine is in the same kli. The wine is in the same kli, so that's another way of saying that you basically live in the same house, you're involved in the same business, right? So there's no reason for you to make a separate erev chatzeros. Amar Rava, deka nami dekatane lozeh b'yayin v'lozeh b'shemen tzrichin la'arif. If you looked at the second line of the Tanna Kamma, he said if one guy is involved with selling wine, wine, and one guy was selling oil, so then according to the Tanakhama, you do in fact have to make an Erev Chatzir. So the Gemara explains. Iyamar Bishlama Resha Bechliachad Vesefa Bishnei Chelim Shapir, Ela Iyamar Resha Bishnei Chelim Vesefa Bishnei Chelim, Mali Yayin Viyayin, Mali Yayin Veshemin. So the Gemara says, I understand if the first line in the Mishnah was discussing a case where the wine was in the same Kli, and the second line in the Mishnah was a case where the wine and the oil were in different Kalim, that would explain why in one case you do not need to make a joint Erev Chatzeros, but in the other case you do. If the wine is in two separate utensils, then I understand why you have to do that. But if you're going to tell me that it's not about the number of utensils that the items are in, but rather the type of things that you have, whether it's wine or oil, the question is, if they're in two separate Kalim, so then why does it matter if we're both selling wine, if I'm selling wine and he's selling oil? In other words, if our items are in two separate utensils, it shouldn't matter if it's the same or if it's different. It should be a problem regardless, and I should require, in those cases, I should require an Eruv Chatzerus. So the Gemara says, Amar le'abaye, yayin v'yayin ro'yu la'arev, yayin v'shemen ain ro'yu la'arev. The Gemara makes the following distinction. Abaye says that no, because since you can mix wine together with other wine, even if they're in two separate kelim, that's good enough to justify not requiring an Erev Chatzeros, but whereas obviously wine and oil do not mix, so therefore you would require you would require an Erev Chatzeros to join up the two houses together. Okay.
Are these guys formally partners? They're
partners. The only issue is whether their items are stored in the same utensils or whether they're dealing with the same types of items, whether it's wine, whether it's oil.
If I'm your partner and we got 2-3 different barrels.
Yeah.
Okay, you're
saying, that's the issue. That's the machlokas. So according to Rabbi Shimon, if you're partners, it doesn't matter. If you're partners, I could be selling right, oil and wine, then it's okay.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay? Okay, fine. So then the Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon omer echad zeh v'echad zeh ein tzrichen la'arev. Again, Rabbi Shimon holds, you don't need to make an erev no matter what. If you're partners, then you're fine. So the Gemara asks, v'afilu lazeh b'yayin v'lo zeh b'shemen. Does that mean to say that even if I'm selling wine and my neighbor is selling oil, that that's good enough? I don't need to make an erev even in that case? So omer rabba hacha b'may haskinan b'chatzer shebein Shnei mevoos for Reb Shimon l'tamei desnan Amar Reb Shimon l'maha davar doma l'shalosh chatzeros ha'psuchos zol zo u'psuchos l'rishos harabim erev u'shtayim hachitzonos im ha'emtzoy esim uteres imahen v'hein mutaros imah u'shtayim hachitzonos asuro zo imzo. The Gemara makes the following distinction here. The Gemara says that we're dealing with the case of a courtyard of a chatzer which is located between two alleyways, and this is reflective of the general opinion of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon happens to hold the Mishnah. He actually compares this case of a chatzer between two alleyways to a case that we actually mentioned a little bit earlier in the Masechta of three courtyards that are opened into one another, but are also opened in separate ways into a Rishus Harabim. So the Gemara actually said earlier that if I made an Erev, let's say I made an Erev Chatzeros basically between all three courtyards, so the people in the middle courtyard are allowed to carry in their own courtyard and also in the two outer courtyards, and the members of the outer courtyards are each allowed to carry in the middle courtyards, but the members of the two outer courtyards cannot carry in the other outer courtyards, in the other extreme outer courtyards that are not connected to one another. So basically, what the Gemara is saying here by invoking this halacha, by invoking this comparison, is to say that just as in that case, the members of the outer courtyards are not permitted to carry, but the members of the middle courtyard can carry into all of them. So basically, what we're saying here is a similar type of a halacha. If I have a courtyard that's situated between two alleyways, so the members of the alleyways can only carry in their own alleyway and in the courtyard, but not in the other extreme alleyway. That's essentially what the Gemara is saying here. So now the Gemara says, "I'm really a bayi mi dame hasam katane shtayim hachitzonas asuros hacha katane ein tzrichin la'arev klal." Abayi refutes this proof of Rava. Abayi says, "How can you compare these two cases? In the case we quoted in the Mishnah earlier." Right, where of the three courtyards. So the halacha is that the members of the outer courtyards are forbidden from carrying in the other extreme outer courtyard. Whereas in our case, the Mishnah says that according to Reb Shimon, you don't require an Erev Chatzeros whatsoever under any circumstance. So how is that the same as the case of the three courtyards that are adjoined? So the Gemara says, you're right. My ain tzrichin la'arev, shcheinim b'hadei balabayis, avo shcheinim b'hadei adodei, tzrichin la'arev. Amare. The Gemara says you're right. The Gemara clarifies what the Mishnah meant. All the Mishnah meant to say was, is that in a case where you have neighbors that are living next to the Baal HaBayis, living next to the guy who owns the wine or the oil, in that case you're not going to require an Erev Chatzeros. But if you just have neighbors living in an area and there's no partnership going on per se, so then in that case they are in fact going to have to create their own independent Erev Chatzeros. Then the Gemara says on top of Amud Beis, V'Rav Yosef Amar Rav Shimon V'Rabbanan B'Flugta de Rav Yochanan B'Nuri V'Rabbanan K'Miflugei. Now, according to Rav Yosef, the machlokas that we just cited in our Mishnah between the Rabbanan and Rav Shimon is actually reflective of a different machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri. This is a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Tevoyon, and actually cited this a few times in Maseches Shabbos as well. The Mishnah says, "Disnan shemen shetzaf al gabe yayin v'nagat tevoyon b'shemen lo pasal el shemen bilvad." Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri omer shnehen chiburin zelaze. Rabbanan ki Rabbanan, v'Rabbi Shimon ki Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Mishnah in Maseches Tevoyon discusses the following. Let's say I have oil that is sitting on top of wine, and a person who's a Tevul Yom, we know that, of course, that a Tevul Yom is a person who went to the mikvah, and they're waiting for the sun to set to become fully tahar, so they're still partially tame during that day, to the extent that if they were to touch Truma or Kudshim, they would in fact make it tame. So the Mishnah says, let's say the Tevul Yom touched the oil part of that mixture, of that oil and wine. So the question is, does he also make the wine tummy? In other words, of course he makes the oil tummy. That's not a question. The question is, what about the wine? So that's a machlokas in the Mishnah. According to the Rabbanan, he only makes the oil tummy, whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, since they're connected to one another, he makes both of them tameh. So this machlokes in the Mishnah and Tevul Yom actually spills over to our case here. Because according to the Rabbanan in the Mishnah and Tevul Yom, that the oil and the wine are basically distinct entities. So that would explain why the Rabbanan say that if I sell wine and my neighbor sells oil, we can't join together because those two items never mix by definition. But according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that if by touching the oil, I also make the wine tameh, that's another way of saying that the oil and the wine can combine with one another, which means that if I'm selling wine and my neighbor is selling oil, we can in fact have a joint partnership, and therefore I do not require an Erev Chatzeros in that case. So according to Rav Yosef, this is the machlokas, this is the reasoning behind the machlokas between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan in our Mishnah. It has to do with this issue in the Mishnah in Maseches Tevoyon. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tanya, Rav Eliezer ben Tadai Omer, Echad ze v'echad ze tzrichin la'arev, v'afilu lazeh b'yayin v'lazeh b'yayin. Now we have a third extreme position here, which is against what we saw in our Mishnah. According to Rav Eliezer ben Tadai, you need to make an Erev Chatzeros even if both you and your neighbor are involved in selling wine. In other words, that's even more machmir than the Chachamim. This is saying that that even if you're selling the same item, you still have to make an Erev Chatzeros. What's the logic behind that? Amar Rabba, Zeba Bilagino Veshafach, Vezeba Bilagino Veshafach, Kuliyam Aloplidi Dehaveir. So the Gemara explains, if you're going to go and pour your wine into a barrel and your neighbor pours the wine into the same barrel, then everyone agrees that you're not going to require an Erev in that case, because that is basically a joint heir, because you're basically partners in that case. In that case, for sure, everyone agrees that you're not going to have to make a separate heir of chatzeros. The machlokas is if we purchased a barrel of wine in partnership with one another. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai Savar Ein Breira, V'Rabbanan Savar Yesh Breira. This is an old machlokas that again we mentioned already earlier in this Masechta regarding Breira. Right? Breira basically means literally retroactive clarification, which basically is just another way of saying that if something happens later on, does that mean that I can now figure out and clarify what the result was from earlier? So in other words, if I purchase a barrel of wine and I want to know which wine is going to be designated as my Erev Chatzeros, so according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, he says we cannot rely on the rule of Breira. In other words, if the wine, let's say, was already consumed beforehand, before we could determine which part of the wine was being used for the Erev Chatzeros, so then you're basically you're stuck. You can't use the wine for anything because he holds to this principle called Ein Breira, that we cannot rely on retroactive clarification. Whereas the Rabbanan, who say that in a case where both me and my neighbor are selling wine, that is considered a valid Erev Chatzeros by definition, because the Rabbanan rely on the principle of Breira, where they say that even though at the moment neither of us know which wine we're going to be using for the Erev Chatzeros, but it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, whatever wine is left over in the barrel, that's what we're going to end up using for the Erev Chatzeros. So basically, the Gemara says that according to this answer, the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai is really just an issue of whether you rely on Breira. Okay. Then the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai v'Rabbanan besomchen al shituf bimkum Erev kamiflegei, demar savar ein somchen, umar savar somchen. The Gemara quotes another possible version or another possible understanding of the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, which is whether you can rely on what's called a shitufe mevoos in a case where you don't have an Erev Chatzeros. In other words, the Gemara is basically saying that, again we're used to talking about the concept of an Erev Chatzeros, about joining together multiple houses within a courtyard, but the Gemara also discusses a notion called a shitufe mevoos, which means joining multiple courtyards within an alleyway. So the Gemara says that method, that notion called a shitufe mevoos, is very bidyevet. We don't like to rely on that ideally. So the question is, am I allowed to rely on the notion, on the principle of a shitufe mevoos in a case where, for whatever reason, I can't make an Erev Chatzeros? That's the machlokas in the Gemara. So if you hold that you can rely on a shitufe mevoos bidyevet, so then this would be a valid Erev Chatzeros, or in this case, a shitufe mevoos. But if you hold that you cannot, then obviously it's not going to work. Okay, so the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Yosef, Mena Aminala, to Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Halacha Kerabi Meir. There was a machlokas about how we paskin within this issue. In other words, whether we assume that you are allowed to rely on a shitufe mevoos or not. So the Gemara explains, my taima, lav mishum decha taimahu. The Gemara says, isn't the reason why we're paskining this way, that we're being machmir to not allow you to rely on a shitufe mevoos, is because this is all based on the same logic. Again, we'll see the shita of Rabbi Meir coming up in the Gemara in a second, but basically the question becomes, are you allowed to create a shitufe mevoos using bread or using wine, as we'll see in a second in the Gemara? So the Gemara says, presumably, the fact that we're saying that a shitufe mevoos is invalid is because both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai fundamentally agree that you can't use a shitufe mevoos. So Amar le Abai, Abai says that it's not true. V'icha taima tarte hilchas alamali. The Gemara says, but if both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai are operating under the same logic, namely, that a shitufe mevoos is invalid, then why does the Gemara have to go and paskin like that twice? Again, we'll see in a second what the shita of Rabbi Meir is regarding making a shitufe mevoos with bread, and in our Gemara making a shitufe mevoos with wine. In other words, if they both basically agree that a shitufe mevoos is never valid, why would the Gemara have to paskin that way twice? So the Gemara says, no, hakamash malan de lo avdina ketre chumre be'erivim, because I would have said, if not for the fact that the Gemara just went out of its way to tell me that we paskin both like Rabbi Meir and like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, that a shitufe mevoos is invalid both by bread and by wine, I would have said that we cannot paskin like them twice. In other words, in both of those cases, why not? Because we have a principle when it comes to Hilchos Erevin, since Erevin itself is only a din d'rabbanan, the Gemara says that you can never rely on a double chumrah when it comes to Erevin. In other words, if there are two machmir shitos when it comes to Hilchos Erevin, you can't be machmir like both of the shitos, you can only be machmir like one of them. So the fact that the Gemara goes out of its way to tell me, by the way, we paskin both like Rabbi Meir and like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, that a shitufe mevoos is invalid both for bread and for wine, is actually a very big chiddush, because the baseline assumption would have been that you can't be machmir in both of those cases, because in Hilchos Erevin in general, you cannot be machmir like two shitos. You can only rely on one chumrah and not on two. So the Gemara now clarifies what exactly these shitos are. My Rabbi Meir umay Rabbanan desanya ma'arvin b'chatzeros b'fas v'imratzu la'ariv b'yayin ein ma'arvin mishtatfin b'mavui b'yayin v'imratzu l'hishtatif b'fas mishtatfin. So the Gemara makes the following distinction, that you can make an erev chatzeros with bread, but you cannot do so with wine. You can make a shitufe mevoos with wine or with bread. And then the Gemara says, Ma'arvin b'chatzeros u'mishtatfin b'mavui shelo l'shakeach toras eruv min hatinokos sheyomru avoseinu lo ervu divra meir. According to Rav Meir, if you make an eruv chatzeros, there really is no reason to make a shitufim avos. It's completely superfluous, because a shitufim avos, at best, only works in the absence of an eruv chatzeros. Again, it doesn't even work then according to everyone, right? In other words, but it certainly is not going to be effective if you already have an eruv chatzeros. But yet, Rav Meir says that if you're going to make a shitufe mevoos, you should still make a quote-unquote fake Erev Chatzeros. Why? So that this way the children don't think that you're allowed to carry without an Erev Chatzeros. In other words, it could very well be that for whatever reason you can't make an Erev Chatzeros, whatever the reason is, and you're relying on those shitos that hold that a shitufe mevoos is valid, which is fine, but Rav Meir says that you should still do almost like a symbolic gesture. You should make an Erev Chatzeros, so this way the kids don't forget the halacha in the future. That's according to Rabbi Meir. However, v'chachamim omrim oma arvin o mishtatfin. Where's the Chacham say no? The Chacham say just, basically pick a lane. Either make an Erev Chatzeros or make a shitufim mevoos, but don't do both. So the Gemara now explains, pligi bar rav nechumi v'rava. Chad omar befas dechuli amalo pligi devachad esagi pi pligi ki pligi biyayin the chadam or biyayin the chuliyam alu pligi de boin and tarte ki pligi befas. The Gemara quotes a machlokas between Rav Nechumi and Rabba regarding again the question about using bread versus wine when it comes to the shitufim mevos and the erev chatzeros. So again, the Gemara says that everyone agrees. Again, this is according to one sheet in the Gemara. Everyone agrees that when it comes to bread, so then everyone says that one is good enough. In other words, you can either make an erev chatzeros or a shitufim mevos, but you don't need both. The machlokas is only regarding wine, whether by wine you require both a shetufim vos and an erev chatzeros. That's one sheet in the Gemara. The other sheet in the Gemara is that when it comes to wine, everyone agrees that you need to have both an erev chatzeros and a shetufim vos. The machlokas is only regarding bread. So again, the two versions of the machlokas between Rav Nechumi and Rabba are basically two opposite extremes. So the Gemara now asks, Meisvei vachachamim omrim o ma'arvin o mishtatvin my lav o ma'arvin b'chatzer b'fas o mishtatvin b'mavui b'yayin. The Braisa says that you can either make an erev chatzeros or you can make a shitufim mevos according to the chachamim. So the Gemara says, doesn't that mean that I can either make an erev chatzeros with bread or I can make a shitufim mevos with wine? Which implies that according to everyone, I don't need to do both. I can just do one or the other. I can just either make an erev chatzeros or a shitufim mevos. That would seem to be against everything we just said, because we just said that again, the machlokas we just quoted before between Rav Nechumi and Rabba says that at least in one of the cases, either by bread or by wine, you're going to require in other words, both an erev chatzeros and a shitufim mevos. But now the Gemara seems to be implying that you never require both of them. So the Gemara says, "Am Rav Gidol Amar Rav Haki Kamar O Ma Arvin Bechatzer Befas Umutarin Kan V'Chan." The Gemara says all it means is that you can either make an erev chatzeros with bread, and then you would be permitted to carry in both cases. In other words, you would be permitted to carry in this chatzer and in the other chatzers, or you can make a shitufim mevos with wine, and that would also allow you to carry in both chatzeros. So then, so fine.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Is that more encompassing than the
Erev Chatzeros? The Shitufe Mevos, physically it's more encompassing because it includes all the Chatzeros within an alleyway. But the thing is that again, as we just pointed out, it doesn't necessarily work according to all the Amorai, right? Shitufe Mevos, even at its best, even if you think that a Shitufe Mevos is valid, it's only going to work in the absence of an Erev Chatzeros. It's clearly very bidyeved, and even when you don't have an Erev Chatzeros, not all Amorai agree that you can even use it then, right? So it's almost like a fallback position, right? Again, in an ideal world, you should always be having an erev chatzeros. The shitufim mevos is kind of a backup in certain cases, okay? And then the Gemara ends off says, "Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Halacha Kerabi Meir, v'Rav Huna Amar Minha Kerabi Meir, v'Rav Yochanan Amar Nohaguha Am Kerabi Meir." There's three different versions of how literally or how seriously we take this position of Rabbi Meir. So the first version is that we mamish paskin like Rabbi Meir. In other words, the notion that an erev chatzeros, I'm sorry, that a shitufim mevos with bread or with wine is good. So we literally pass in that way. The other shita in the Gemara is that mina kirab meir is that people used to, in other words, is that the minhag is to follow him, but it's not a bona fide halacha. And the third shita is that nohagu ha'am kirab meir, which is that people used to follow Rabbi Meir, but it's not necessarily clear that that's necessarily how we should pass in. It's just that that's what people used to do.